Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. Put down that salad and man up your lunch hour with the best hockey coverage possible. You're listening to Hockey Central
at noon on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Radio Network. Sportsnet, just for the people listening in the shop control center. We cannot hear you. We do not have program back. So if we're not listening to you, we're not totally ignoring you. By choice. Yeah. Darren Millard along with PJ Stock and Gordy Stellick here today on this Friday. We will chat with Adrian Dater from the Denver Post in just a little bit. The Avalanche off to a rocky start, but Semyon Varlamov is coming back, and we may be able to slide in Mike Johnston, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins, just working on whether or not they're going to be off the ice today. You guys were great last night in Hockey Central tonight.
Gordon was okay. They had some moments, but getting there. It's a project. Mm-hmm.
This guy, okay, Saturday, the staple. You know the stock exchange?
Yes.
Do you notice what's gone on with the stock market since he started the stock exchange?
Yeah, there's
like,
been
are you giving really investment advice? My portfolio's down like 20% since PJ.
Tough couple of weeks. So we'll bounce back. We're going to bounce back.
So it was harmless last night. It was Hockey Central.
Can you just tell me a little bit about what a barn burner last night it was, especially in L.A.?
Yes. We had, you know, when they say the red flag things that you overuse, mm-hmm. I use the barn burner phrase. And where would it come from? You're a guy from out west. I don't know if you were in a farm.
Pretty sure there's a barn.
Yeah, so a barn burner sounds like there'd be a lot of activity and excitement, but it's kind of like Firecracker Day when you used to cheer the schoolhouse burning down, right? It's probably dated. It's probably not politically correct anymore, but it means a lot of action, a frenzy, everything's crazy, back to forth action.
Like two shutdown defensemen at each other.
Except you get burying yourself and you screw it up.
I couldn't get shut down.
It was like a TKO, shutdown defenseman. Shut down defenseman.
You realize you're going to try that.
Shut.
Eventually, you're going to say something that's not going to come out properly.
Yeah, well, the day before
That word yesterday with Dale Hunter on the air. Oh. He just threw it out. Didn't even realize he said it and just kept on going.
Oh.
If you say shut down defenseman,
happen
to say the wrong word at the start of it.
But, of course, with Zdeno Chara's injury, it became, although PJ maybe elaborated more than usual, it became a key phrase, key talking point.
You know, what a jam they're in right now. Mm-hmm. You know, the Boychuk move, they had to be made because of salary cap reasons. And the Bruins always find a way to, you know, get through these things because of their depth and everything. But, man, you look at their team right now and their defense, they're just not a scary roster right now. You know, Bertoski's in his, you know, McQuaid, they got some Krugs back there. But from last year to this year, that's a whole new defensive squad for me. When you take Chara out of there, they're all in different positions. And it's going to be... No, Toronto's the lucky team right now as they play them Saturday. You get Seidenberg, who missed almost all of last year. Boychuk, and Chara. It's almost 3D completely changeover. So it's going to be a big change for Boston Saturday, but for the next 4 weeks as well.
You know, and we saw for the TV viewers the injury. It looked innocent. He didn't react. Looked like Tavares got the worst of the blow that way. But, you know, PJ's talking about the Leafs, and you think back to it. Chara had Kessel's number after the trade for a couple of years. Then Kessel got it together that playoff series. But in Game 7, when the Bruins came back, it seemed like Chara, any positive play, Chara was out there wiring from the point. So I think he's probably the Leafs. If you had to pick which NHL team he's been as effective against as any other, Toronto would be right up there.
Statistically, without Zdeno Chara, they're 8-8-5. So it's not off the rails.
No, but the big stats, he's only missed 21 games. Yeah. That's a phenomenal number for a big guy like that playing defense. His time with the Boston Bruins, he plays about 80 games a season. He's only missed 21.
Toronto Maple Leafs obviously trying to keep things going from their victory over the New York Islanders the other night, in which the big line got things going, especially Phil Kessel. So that's coming up on Saturday, Boston against Toronto on Hockey Night in Canada. Tonight you get Colorado at home to Vancouver on Sportsnet 1, Carolina in Edmonton on Sportsnet Oilers, with Edmonton going out for a third straight win, Columbus, Anaheim, Tampa Bay, Winnipeg, and Dallas against the New Jersey Devils. It's great when you have people in on Hockey Central at noon who did Hockey Central tonight, because you guys are so invested. How many times did you guys actually do the show last night? Three?
Well, they started putting numbers up for a telethon. We were getting pledges at the end. We
because
had to,
you came out of a game, yeah, then you do right. an you fill
a fast
fill
game.
To the top, then you do an hour, yeah. and then you do another
then
hour.
We redo it. But Detroit Pittsburgh was a fast game, so yeah. You know what? Actually, you are jazzed because you're wired and you know everything there is to know, whether we're accurate or not about the game last night. And games last night.
What a night for hockey, though. The comebacks in a lot of the games. The teams that you know what Pittsburgh is, and the question marks surrounding Detroit this year, their youth, and, you know, Dats missing training camp and, you know, coming back injured, and how is he going to catch up? Doesn't miss a beat. He looked spectacular last night. Columbus coming back in their game against San Jose. Ryan Miller in St. Louis. There was a lot of great storylines, and the way they all finished out was a good night for hockey.
A lot of shout-outs, too.
A lot of shout-outs again, you're right. And
well, that's when you have Carolina playing and Buffalo playing on the same night, there's a good chance you might get two of them.
Well, in Minnesota, I mean, that's been a surprise story that way. I'm finding as well a lack of shootouts. I hope it continues. I know there was just one game.
There was a glut of them early on.
I know, but then like last Saturday, four games went to overtime. Three of them were solved in overtime. One wasn't, and I'm wondering if we are ahead of pace as far as overtime wins go compared to shootouts with the slight tweak to the rules. A
couple of things. One, Minnesota, it's starting to become an annual thing with great starts, yeah. and whether or not they can keep it going. But they doesn't seem to matter who's in that lineup, pre-Suter, post-Suter. They have a great October, November.
They have great offensive guys, and I think they sprinkled more of them throughout their lineup, and I think that's going to help them because every now and then they're a great defensive team, good goaltending, but their offense at times had seemed to dry up at times. And Mikko Koivu was the guy, but he's not your offensive juggernaut. You know, they get Pominville in there, you know, they got Parise in there, now they got your best buddy.
Yeah, you know what? It's like a communist regime. When the new guy comes, they ignore the previous guy. So every time I mention Thomas Vanek to PJ, it's like he doesn't exist because of the Montreal experience. But that's a positive add in the offseason for the Minnesota Wild.
More guys, if they still play their defensive system, still have great numbers with and without the puck, the scoring one for me, which dries up, there's so many of those guys now. It's hard for all of them to dry up now. So I got a feeling the trend for Minnesota will continue all year.
What do you think the expectations are there? We had Zach Parise on a couple of weeks ago, and he seemed to lean towards, you know, it's got to be a conference final now. They're not going to be happy just to make the playoffs, get through a round.
Well, and then highlight, we just saw Coyle again. He's got to change his number three. That's the first thing I want to talk about for when it comes to Minnesota. That's a forward wearing the number three. I got that off my chest. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's easy to say conference final. Look at who they're going against. It is how's Nashville going to fit into this? You know, don't forget you got Anaheim, you got San Jose, you got LA, you got Chicago. It is a tough, tough, yes. tough conference. But they have all these guys that they're paying a lot of money to. And they're in their physical prime. It kind of has to be in the next 2-3 year window as they have a lot of young guys that are moving up as well, or those their main tier guys start going on the backside of their age.
Let me phrase it a different way. Maybe it wouldn't be overachieving if they got to a conference final. Is that fair?
I think they have the team to get there.
Yeah.
And I think sooner or later, LA and Chicago, they have to hit a physical speed bump. They do. Every year, they play a lot more hockey than anyone. They go to the conference finals or the league, or the Stanley Cup finals. They celebrate or recover a lot later than everybody else. They get a shortened summer and they do it over and over and over again. Sooner or later, they are going to hit a physical wall. I don't know when it is, but it has to be sooner or later because it's 4 years in a row at Chicago, LA, Chicago, LA. And it's a team that has to be building and be ready to strike at the right time. And I think that could be Minnesota or a team like Anaheim.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you softening
it. Don't start like we're the first segment.
If you sign Parise and Suter, which I know was the previous summer,
yes.
If you sign those guys, you are not doing that to be a runner-up. Okay, I mean, a topical thing in this city is Toronto FC. Big signings, big expectations, as you should have done. So when you go sign those guys to long-term contracts and that you are expecting some results now, okay, all the other stuff's nice, and they've, you know, even a guy like Spurgeon was a good pickup.
That's like two guys.
Someone else. Still, big money, that stuff. You're not doing that to be a 30th place team hoping to be one of the top 16. I mean, you're expecting to win the whole enchilada. That's why you do that.
Darren?
Yes,
I went
PJ.
To Wilder Penfield Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
I had the same sweater as that.
Do you like this?
I do like that. Mine was purple.
Now, do you still have it?
I know. I don't still have
Who's
it.
Who's Wilder Penfield? He's like a writer or a movie guy? Wilder Penfold.
Wilder Penfold.
How many years did you go to that school?
It was the best 8 years of my life. Okay. No, 6 years. Elementary school.
And you don't know who Wilder Penfold is?
Well, I know the school is named after him.
You're kidding.
6 years there. You never thought to go, hey, I wonder why that guy's name's on the side of my school.
Do you remember in grade six why the school was named after...
I went to King George. I knew he was a king.
Okay. I went to George Vanier. I know he was the governor general.
He was a writer. He was an English writer.
Why? Someone put that in your ear?
No, he was. But I just wanted to know why you guys were asking me.
Do you know any work?
Well, this one is pretty popular. To be or not to be?
That's his?
Yeah, that's the only one I got.
Did you go to James Bond Community College after? Like, where did you go?
I just liked your sweater. That's all I was going with.
So that was a jab, right?
No, I like it. And it made me think of my youth.
Darren Millard, along with Gord Stellick and PJ Stock, were on the NHL Network in the United States, as well as Sportsnet in Canada, Sportsnet Radio Network, the Rogers Radio app. Last night featured the Columbus Blue Jackets continuing to roll as they get a late goal against the San Jose Sharks. But as we approach the end of the third week of the season here, you look at the division leaders, and you've got Montreal. You expected some good things out of them. But the Islanders and Nashville leading their respective divisions. Nashville has yet to lose in regulation, and the Islanders have 5 wins in 7 starts. Which of those teams keeps it up?
I would say, I'd say Nashville. Are those two?
Mm-hmm.
I would say
and you
Nashville.
You could say both if you want.
Well, the Islander, you know, it just shows when ownership does something proactive and is willing to spend money. And this isn't PJ in the same like Parise and Suter, but going to get, you know, Boychuk and Letty, that kind of thing, because they weren't a team prone to do that. And you look at the trickle-down effect. I mean, it stabilizes their D or certainly upgrades it. And then also it sends a message. They're a little more serious to guys like John Tavares and others. Of course, Bailey got hurt last night, right? Broke his hand. So that's always going to be a tough blow. But in Nashville's case, I like the fact that with James Neal getting the hat trick, they tried to do that a couple of years ago when they brought Radulov in, and that they knew they had to add that element because they've always been a defensive team and a well-disciplined team. And now goals are hard to get, but James Neal's had the ability to get them, and he seems to be doing it there as well.
That's just, I mean, we just spent 5 minutes talking about Minnesota just before. That is a tough division. When you look at, they got Chicago, Dallas, Minnesota, St. Louis, you know, Winnipeg and Colorado on their heels. That is a tough one to stay atop. I'll probably go with you on that one, though, but because the Islanders, that whole metropolitan, you know, I think Washington, after watching them play against Edmonton the other night, I think it's going to take time before Barry Trotz can really put his handprint on this team.
What didn't you like, or what do you see happening?
With
Washington and Barry Trotz?
Trending in the right direction. It's going up. I love their puck possession. That I have to use that. Did I throw it out? That's our check mark for the day of using that term.
Yeah. Puck possession, okay.
Yeah, they're on... they're on the rise. I really love the way they play. They play almost like European soccer, where it's close passes, close to each other, find the open guy, and then hunt it down. I found the last few years, it wasn't enough hunting down the puck. It was wait for it to come to us, and then we'll make nice plays, and, you know, we'll have a trailer somewhere. No, it's all of them on the puck, making great plays, energetic hockey, mind you. They played the Edmonton Oilers that have been struggling a tad, but... The third period the other night was unbelievable hockey for the Washington Capitals. I think they're going to head up in the right direction. You know, and then there's Pittsburgh. You know, they lost the last few games, giving up some big leads, but it's hard to count a team out with Crosby and Malkin.
Here's my question. Are you better off being the Washington Capitals or the San Jose Sharks? I mean, two teams, the best teams not to make it to a Stanley Cup final for about a decade, right? I mean, Washington, it's a few years back now, but... are you better off being Washington that's basically said that time's come and gone, and like you say, we've got to retool, or San Jose that it's the same thing? You know, the excellence in the regular season. I mean, new guys coming in, youthful guys, but still no result as far as getting to a Stanley Cup final.
I would take Washington in a heartbeat just because of the competition that they have to get past to get to that next step. I mean, you know, Montreal's atop the Atlantic Division, and then, you know, you saw Detroit play last night. Losing Chara is going to make the East a lot different, but the West is—it's still the Wild Wild West. The West is just—you know—everyone's going to say Chicago and LA are their favorite teams.
LA's playing well out of the gate, which is a bit of a different trend than we've seen over the last couple of years. Usually, it's like get through the regular season and then we just flip the switch. But they're outstanding. They won
Quick
5 in a row.
Quick has been spectacular.
Coming off surgery,
looks
great,
spectacular. And again, I really think teams like Chicago and LA, they have to hit a physical wall sooner or later. I mean, you just don't get the time to recover. Some guys are done in April. They have the rest period. Then they start working out to get to make themselves bigger and stronger for the next hockey year, which carries on throughout the hockey year and into the next summer. And but, I mean, LA and Chicago, every year, they play late. They're injured because it's tough hockey out there. Get through the playoffs and time to recover, time to work out. Sooner or later, they have to hit that wall. But great start by LA, and Quickers looks spectacular.
Hockey Central at noon. Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, PJ Stock, and now welcoming in Adrian Dater from the Denver Post. Colorado at home tonight to the Vancouver Canucks. Semyon Varlamov back in tonight, Adrian?
Yes, he is, Darren. Thanks for having me, by the way.
No problem. We'd love to check in on Colorado. Was such a great story last year, and it would have been difficult to follow that up with a second consecutive Central Division regular season title, but I don't think anybody expected one win in the first seven games. How much of that do you attribute simply to the loss of the goaltender for a chunk of that, or just the sophomore slump, so to speak?
Well, Varlamov's absence has not helped, but you know, to blame it all on that would be wrong. They've had problems on almost every area of the game, and it started out in preseason. For some reason, they haven't been able to score goals either. They haven't been great defensively, and they weren't last year either. And goaltending bailed out a lot of those mistakes. So we didn't expect the best defensive team in the league again here. But the bigger surprise has been the lack of scoring. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon doesn't have a goal yet. Jerome McGinley doesn't have a goal yet. Ryan O'Reilly's only got one goal and minus six, uncharacteristic for him. So the top guys aren't scoring, they're not getting anything much on the third and fourth line either. So, 12 goals scored, 24 allowed. it's been pretty bad all across the board. That said, they've led in almost every game. Pretty much every game they've lost is a one-goal game, except for a horrific opening night in Minnesota.
How much of it do you think has to do with missing a top six forward on their team, taking Stastny out of their lineup? How much do you think that has to do with the trickle-down effect and the slow start?
Well, I don't think it's ever a good thing to lose a guy like Paul Stastny for nothing. I mean, he's a good player. And he had a real good season last year, and he's a talented guy. I didn't think that was going to be a death knell of this team at all. I thought that replacing his offense with Aginla and Danny Briere, he's older. He's not the player he used to be, but he can still score some goals, one would think. And moving Nathan MacKinnon to center was supposed to be the cure for that too. It was supposed to be MacKinnon and Duchesne down the middle, and that's a pretty good top two. And then you let John Mitchell be your third line guy, and you got a pretty good lineup still. So, but Patrick Waugh moved MacKinnon to wing right on opening night, and so far Ryan O'Reilly went to center, and that really hasn't worked too well so far. So we're gonna see what the lineup is tonight, you don't look to lose a guy like Stastny for nothing, but I thought they, we all still think they've got more than enough offense to make up for his loss. Defensive loss too, though. He's a defensive loss and a faceoff loss too, so that has hurt too. But is he a $7 million a year guy? I didn't think so then. I don't think so now. But that's neither here nor there.
Well, no doubt about it. It's a loss, but it's then what you do. And you mentioned some of the replacements. And, last year there was that youthful vibe that caught everyone's attention and certainly had success on the ice. And now I know it's perfect thinking, bring the veterans in. And you mentioned again, Aginla, Briere, and Stewart, those kind of guys. And maybe are they looking at that it's hard. Chemistry's interesting and tangible. And might they have tampered with it a bit too much?
It's a good question. I don't think so. But One of my things I've said for a while now is, and I wrote this in the paper yesterday, is, I don't know if we still know who the real leader on the ice for the Avalanche is. I don't know if we really know. Gabe Landeskog is the captain, but he's 21 years old. He's a great guy. He's a lead by example kind of guy, I think. But I don't know if they still have that guy in the room that who is I don't know if they know that still. I don't know. And I think that the real leader of the team last year was Patrick Waugh and all that he brought and the new direction he brought. Now I think you got to look internally on who – I think after a while, the coach can only do so much in the leadership department. And these guys have got to figure it out, who in the room is their leadership group. It should be these young, talented kids. But I'm still wondering about that, I guess.
It's easy.
I know the older guys, but you can't come in and be the leader of the team when you're Jerome McGinley at 37 and haven't played here before. It's too hard for that. So
That's my argument with making so many of these young kids captain at such a young age. I mean, they've had experiences and had some highs and lows in junior and maybe in an Olympic team.
I think I agree with that.
It's tough. This isn't a tough time yet. This is just a slow start.
No.
You know, it's when it's really, you know, you're in December, you're really struggling, you got some major injuries. Who stands up in that room? I think by then, obviously, Jerome is going to be probably the guy, and I got to feel that's one of the reasons why they went out to get him and try and get some veterans around the younger core in case of something like this. But it is an interesting topic.
So when does Patrick – he's been really positive through this whole
– You have to. Start.
When does he – play the other card, Adrian?
Well, he had a pretty tough line after the last loss to Florida. He said, we don't want to play. We want the easy game right now. And we're not sharp mentally. And until we figure out that we want to, that we have to play, the tougher game, we're not going to go anywhere. So that was for him. That was pretty strong stuff. He tempered that a little bit the next couple of days with more positive. We're going to get him next time. We're on the rebound kind of talk. But it's a big, big game tonight. I mean, I don't normally say this about game eight in any season, but they pretty much, you know, they got to win this game tonight. I mean, they go 1-5-2 in this conference. It's not good at all. And you got the Vancouver Canucks coming in tonight on second of back-to-backs. There's a lot of pressure on this team to win tonight.
Yeah, I was wondering, Adrian, when they came through Toronto, I mean, they're going Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal. I don't think I've ever seen more people after the game, family and friends, waiting for the Avalanche players. I don't know. I know Patrick said that even when he goes back to Montreal, it's the frenzy about himself.
They're all kids.
Oh, I know.
But it's all their parents there to give them their lunchbox. Right.
But each one has the same number of parents. Okay, I mean, I don't think they have eight parents each. PJ, I just mean there was a disproportionate number of guys here in the areas around here. How much was that a distraction? I mean, those are three pretty important games.
Yeah. They usually win those games. That has always been a historically real good trip for the Avs. They always start out the season, it seems like, in Boston, Montreal, Toronto, and they always seem to catch those teams by surprise. They did beat the Bruins again this time, but they blew a game in Ottawa. They're up 3-1. They kind of let a point get away in Toronto, too.
Montreal as well.
Montreal. They had the third goalie playing a couple of those games. You're not going to win those games probably either way. So yeah, no, I don't think it's a distraction. But I think this team, they got some young kids. I think give them a few years in the league when those kids are tired of paying for the tickets to the parents and stuff. I don't think you'll see as many friends and family around there. Coming in at $100-$200
bucks. Hold on. Trips. Adrian, you never get tired of paying for mom and dad's tickets.
Oh, I do.
Oh, okay.
You do?
Well, not mom and dad.
Really? You
especially their meals.
You cheap.
Where were you raised by wolves or something?
Yeah.
No, those same two parents.
I did a story on that, guys, once. It's a lot of money these guys spend on road games for family and friends sometimes. I mean, we're thousands of dollars. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I know they make some good money, but
well, what's the most you pay ever paid for tickets for one night, PJ?
Oh, me?
No, PJ. A
couple thousand.
Really?
Yeah.
How many tickets? Where? Sting?
Well,
and how many tickets?
Montreal.
Okay. And it stung?
Yeah. Tickets are the problem. Is when your team travels to another, you have to pay for the certain tickets. You don't get the top ones. Up in the top row.
No.
You're in the certain area, and you know a couple hundred dollars a ticket now. So you know you get a pair. It's $400. Well, I know.
Usually in the lower end of the end zone of one of the lower bowls. That's usually where all the visiting tickets are.
Second highest price range is what it's mandated in the building, but I cannot believe anybody would not want to pay a ticket for. I can see for extended family, like second cousin
would you see
Bernie.
Me play?
And,
my parents would boo me.
I can't believe they came to the game. Whatever, I would think they probably have better things to do.
They'd come wearing a Joe Thornton jersey. I mean, I don't know if that helps.
Adrian, appreciate you stopping by. You've always been great to us in answering the phone when we call. So,
well, good. My pleasure, and I always listen to you guys' show all the time, and great show. So, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you like it on Tuesdays, Thursdays, or Mondays and Fridays when guys like PJ and Gordy are in?
Say Fridays.
No, I like it all, guys. I really do. I actually, you guys, I subscribe to like 4 different podcasts, so I listen to your podcast version all the time. And,
well, I'm glad we don't charge, or else PJ wouldn't even listen.
Yeah, no,
I would listen. I just wouldn't pay for my parents.
It's PJ Stock. I remember talking to you a long time ago for an article, so I'm always indebted for that. Anytime anybody calls my big dumb self back on a story, and you're also a good ex-Bruin, so I like that too. I'm a New England guy, so great Bruin, PJ.
Thanks, Adrian.
Appreciate the kind words.
Works and everything. Okay, guys, take care.
Be good. There's Adrian Dater from the Denver Post. The Colorado Avalanche, with just one win so far, they've surrendered twice as many goals as they've scored. They're a total shell of the team of last year.
You know what? They're just not getting the goaltending. That's all. You know, the game is completely different. If you get that first
But 12 goal, goals in 7 games is nothing.
They're on their third string goalie. I mean, that's why Patrick can't really get mad right now. They're on their he can't come in.
How does
in.
That affect scoring?
Well, the other team gets into their defensive system once they're up by 2. Mm-hmm. You're playing the same kind of hockey back and forth. You get a goal, okay. Now you can kind of, you know, play a little bit more defensive. You got 2. You don't need the 3 and 4, but the other team, now Colorado, has to open it up. They're now trying stretch passes. Their forwards are now cheating. Mm. And that's, you know, then you get 3 goals. And then it's just...
Just lean a little bit.
You need a barn burner.
I don't know. It's hot in here. I'm sweating. Just this is a tough studio.
I need you to be closer to the mic. That's
he thinks
all.
He's being in court here or something
and
like that.
What is the big surfing mannerisms that you're throwing out?
Well, we're on TV, right?
Yeah.
I should have done my hair, too. I forgot TV on radio means comb your hair for... TV.
Anyway, wait a second. You know, first of all, they should have barn burner games, to use the phrase. I agree with you about, wait a sec, doesn't excuse the lack of scoring. And I do think, and you saw them in Montreal, when Adrian was in Toronto last year, he brought up the fact that Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic, he goes, the air is fresher, the water tastes better.
It's always better when you're winning.
So they went around, changed the culture rather than teams that talk about changing the culture and don't. And I still think that's there. I think the impression they made last year is not going to go away. I don't think it was like a 1-year blip.
By the way, Mom and Dad, I love you. I will pay for your tickets. But it's easy when you're winning to say all the right things. Now it gets a lot harder when you're losing. This is why I'm not a huge fan of... I understand putting the C on a kid because he's the future of the franchise. But don't expect him to stand up in a locker room and know what to say when you're getting off to a tough start. You're down to your third goalie. You know, he's struggling as well. It's a tough time. You need to surround him with the right guys. You need the right coach. You need the right general manager. You know, you need the right assistant coaches. Because Patrick's going to come in. Patrick Waugh is going to come in and give his, you know, he's going to be fired up or he's going to be happy. But you still need that assistant coach to slide in there and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. really break down what the coach just said and get the message through. So
this is from Matt Marstrom, producer of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey. He's talking about Colorado and PDO. Do you know what that is? It's an advanced statistic right. in hockey that combines save percentage and shooting percentage in an effort to measure overall performance of a team. It should be about 1. And the Colorado Avalanche went from 2nd last year in this category to 25th so far this season.
Listen, it's been 7 games. They are on their third string goalie. They just lost one of their top 6 forwards who was a centerman, who was defensively responsible, who was also great on faceoffs, special teams. Give them an extra week and let's talk about this. Why are you two so negative? Is it always like this?
Why are you sweating like this? Like I normally sweat more than anybody else here.
We got all the lights on here because it's radio on TV.
Why are we sweating? He just said, I'm worried about their PDO. So are you, 2nd to 25th.
Couple of clarifications now. This is Jeff Merrick sending it in. Coyle wears number 3 as a tribute to his cousin, Tony Amonte, who wore it at BU. And he believes his dad wore the same number as well.
I'm allowed to say I don't like 3 as a forward.
Okay. So take on the dad and the guy they should have worn something else.
And do you want to tell him about
Wilder Penfield?
Yeah.
I know you guys have been looking it up.
Where's the Wilder
Penfield? No, it got a tweet.
Oh, gosh.
So this is from Dave Curry.
That's it. Jeez.
And it said, Wilder Penfield, was a pioneering neurosurgeon, once dubbed the greatest living Canadian. I did not know that.
See, well, I know,
but I didn't go to Wilder-Penfield school for six years.
It was tough to get in there.
It sounded
That's how I got in. But I'm just saying.
It sounded like writer's name. There we go. I know so some of the great doctors.
He wrote some stuff, though.
You made up that he was a great writer.
Yeah.
you made that up.
But you guys both went, hey, that sounds pretty good. That sounds like an English writer. That is like fantastic. Sure. This guy is really good.
One of the great neurosurgeons.
Yeah.
I remember names like Dr. Mustard, the guy that Siamese twins and Sick Kids Hospital. So Keon's brother, right? Dave Keon's brother.
I will know that
in Ottawa,
now on,
Heart Institute.
Hockey Central at Noon continues with Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and PJ Stock. We will chat about what's happening this weekend, both on Sportsnet and on Hockey Night in Canada and hometown hockey. It's Hockey Central at Noon, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, simulcast on the Sportsnet Radio Network, and in the United States on the NHL Network.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more Hockey Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Back in the air. Hope, I think, I'm pretty sure. Maybe your mic's not on.
What's
right
that?
Now lean in.
Now I'm good.
Now you're good.
I gotta learn. I'm learning. Actually, in break, I went over my phone, and I got some hate texts.
Really?
Yep. One was from my mom.
She's not happy with you?
She's not happy with
me. She shouldn't be happy with
you. Well, I'm just saying, Ma, I got your texts. She should never make fun of her son. Who has a form like this? I can go back and make fun. She just said, "Stop lying about us." So I love my. It's good. Love you, Mom. Coming home for dinner.
Stop lying about your parents. Darren Millard, along with Gord Stellick and PJ Stock. Some context on Dr. Penfield. Mark tweets in, Darren, you will recall the Heritage Canada commercial. Doctor, I smell burnt toast. That's Dr. Penfield.
There we go, for the stamps.
So it's all, and for those that weren't with the at the start, PJ Stock went to
Wilder Penfield,
and
Westminster was a
Wilder Penfield school
honor student
for 6 years, and not once during those 6 years did he bother to find out who Wilder Penfield was.
But he did comment that that was the shirt, your sweater was what the Wilder Penfield school.
You guys like
sweater?
They want to know about the Mr. Rogers cardigan sweater today. Jordan tweets in at Darren Millard with 1 hour. Can you guys talk about the Flames to start the season? Would like to hear the guy's opinion. Another win last night. It was Jonas Hiller's first shutout as a Flame. Not a great opposition. Obviously, an opposition that's completely disabled because of injury. But Carolina falls 5-0 to Calgary. Sean Monahan scores his first goal. So some things coming together, and now the Flames with 5 wins.
Gord, you were actually pretty pumped about them last night. You got into a little bit of a...
Yeah, but I feel different this morning. No, I was. I picked them as the team because you picked Winnipeg as the team in the West. You changed on that too.
You're kind of like, who's a dark horse that you think that could slip in? You know, of course, Calgary right now sits currently third in the Pacific. You know, 9 wins and... Sorry, 9 games played and 5 wins. And so, they deserve a ton of credit. I think the entire organization deserves a lot of credit for the way... They could just look at, you know, we don't have a star player. We don't have this. We don't have that. And the moment they get down in a game, be the woe is me. But they don't. Every game they compete. I think their coach, I think their GM, I think their leaders, they deserve a ton of credit for the way they've been able to. I think how they finished last year and how they've started this year. And I always, everything for me is hockey gods. And I think it's karma. You work. You might not always win, but you're going to get the benefit of it sooner or later. It's early in the season, and they're getting it now.
You know, it's funny because it goes back to the Iginla Kiprusoff thing. They hung on a year or two too long. And then of all things, Brian Burke, even though people can go up and down on Dion Phaneuf, he actually fleeced them in that trade. I mean, to get, you know, Dion Phaneuf and basically give up nothing at the end of the day. I know, with all due respect to Matt Stajan, but I mean, you know, basically that way. But I you know what I like? I like to, I know he's not, like, Trelivin's there now, but Burke last year, like, he takes a shot at Sven Berchi, not afraid to, and yet also a guy like Sean Monahan, you know, he's an underage guy that
played, and they didn't have a lot of success, but he didn't get down by it. And he was a guy that, you know, integrated well in the lineup. So they got the young guy like that. Then you get a Mason Raymond, because you're looking just to add pieces. And he's a good signing. Like, all you, if you can just incrementally keep improving. And they've been doing this while Edmonton's had the wow factor every year with a high draft pick. Like, wow, here's another high first-round pick. Calgary's kind of puttered away. Goaltending's huge, though. Every team, it's huge, and both guys have been playing well.
Just writing that down.
Which one's that?
The goaltending is huge.
Yeah. It's GE at the end, okay?
I might use that along the way. Three stars from last night with Darren Millard, Gord Stellick, and PJ Stock. I'm going with James Neal. Hat trick last night, has five goals on the year. The adjustment to Nashville coming off the trade. He was really hurt about some of the things that were coming out of that Pittsburgh dressing room. Not necessarily out of the dressing room, but reports that he wasn't a great teammate, and that stung him a little bit, but he's settled in. They're winning hockey games, and you know who's been a great guy for him there is Rich Kloon, former teammate in the Dallas Stars organization. But James Neal settled in and is producing the way they expected him to. He went to camp and talked to a couple of coaches there, and they said ultimate professional. Like real pros pro.
They bring in Neal, but they also, Ribeiro and Forsberg's having a great early start to the season. That is a great line. That team can play so well defensively, they just didn't have any offensive flair to them. And now they have one. They got a great goalie. They had a great defensive system. But now a little bit of offense dangling around, and Neal's the beneficiary of it.
And goaltending is huge in case, but also in the case of James Neal, what you look at, Pittsburgh's been a huge disappointment in the playoffs last couple of years, so somebody gets blamed for it, right? Somebody unfairly. Can't be Sidney Crosby. You got to find someone to take a bit of the rap for
it. Fleury can take a little bit of it, just throwing it out there.
I know, he should, but
goaltending is huge.
But Neal, as a guy that really did everything you asked there in Pittsburgh, but they decided they had to tweak it a bit, so good on Nashville for recognizing what this guy can actually bring to the table. And
we don't usually spend 20 minutes on one star, so I encourage you to come up with your own.
Well, I will, and I appreciate you asking me this morning who my star was, and I named two, and you guys had already picked them.
You said, no, I didn't pick one up this morning.
Well, no, I didn't.
You were talking about the newspaper.
I don't. No, wait a sec. I don't.
That's exactly what
I
you
don't
did.
Send email while I'm driving, okay, because you're supposed to. So I saw it. Matt had sent it, and I get in here, and you guys already picked my first two.
Okay,
so,
well, then since I already have it, I'll go ahead because you're just as important.
Okay, Bachelor number three, go ahead.
I think goaltending is huge.
Okay.
So, you know, I was watching the game last night. You and I were watching San Jose and Columbus.
I love this guy, too.
And I wanted to pick the team, which you guys wouldn't let me because the whole team couldn't get a star. But I love the way the Blue Jackets – last year in the playoffs, you know, talk about the Blue Jackets last year in the playoffs, how they learned are going back to Calgary, you know, how they've learned from last year and been able to carry into the start of this year. Columbus Blue Jackets, I mean, they're without Jenner, Dubinsky, Murray, Horton. They're just playing that. They have that work ethic that Calgary has, but they have that offensive talent. And one of them is Ryan Johansson, who missed training camp, comes in.
Why has it worked?
I don't know. Datsuk, a lot of those guys, it just the timing's not there. And not only that, they're missing players on the top line. There's the chemistry. And he's only played 3 years. And the first 2 years were Last year had a breakout year. And maybe this is just the start of the next 10 years of him dominating. He's a big man. He's a big man with great hands. And it just, you know, the offense is coming through him. He's the one guy you kind of have to shut down a little. But just a spectacular night last night. They came back once, came back twice. Another big night also for Hartnell, who had four assists on the night. But it's just big hands. He plays kind of upright and has a great release. Doesn't mind going to the dirty areas, gets those dirty goals. But he also has that offensive flair to him that makes him my star of the night.
Well, I'll get into my star, but I also wonder how many players, if you ask them, would say, we don't need any preseason. We actually would like to have a little bit of a training camp and start with the regular season, given how in shape guys are nowadays.
What would be the perfect number of games for a preseason if a player didn't have to worry about the revenue for the franchise?
If it was preseason, I would eliminate all these. You have to have so many veterans playing, first picks playing, all that stuff. That's what makes the games kind of ridiculous because the veterans don't want to play them. They don't want to get hurt. And the kids are playing. They're just so nervous. And then they put some American Hockey League guys in there just because they have to fill up the numbers. So you have some kids trying so hard, other guys that don't really want to be there. And it's really hard to judge any talent that's going on in that game. So you know what? Just find a way to eliminate them from 8 to 3 or 2. Because you still have to see some guys, you come into the season, there's a couple of spots opening that you can only tell in game. You can't tell in skating drills.
No, but the guys that, like say, Phil Kessel, PK Subban, you name it, Would they rather play zero?
You need one game. You need at least two. No, I say two games. Two games would be the right. But you have to get those first picks in. A couple guys that you're questioning. Give them a little bit of experience. They can go back to junior or the American Hockey League, knowing what they have to work on, how good they have to get. But the eight games ends up, you know, I played somewhere. You're like, you think you're the best player in the world, and but you realize I'm playing against Steve Yzerman. Steve Yzerman's not really trying all that much because he's.
Did you really think you were the best player in the world?
At one point, I won a face-off against Steve Yzerman, and I kind of fist-pumped a little.
Were your parents there? Did you get them tickets for that?
Mom hasn't texted in a little.
So okay, because we don't want to do 20 minutes on this, right?
Did you pick your star?
I'm just going to here. We're hearing your story about preseason follies. Nicholas Cromwell and Mike Babcock said after the game, one thing the Red Wings have done well is they keep at it and find ways to win games. He had not scored this year. He got two goals, looking a little bit like Nick Lidstrom Jr., as we'll see, you know, just that kind of play. There he is. And one was a bit of the time when it seemed to deflect off two Penguin players. But, boy, the Penguins keep collapsing, and the Red Wings keep finding ways to win games, and Cromwell was the key last night.
Darren Millard, along with PJ Stock and Gord Stellick, tweet coming in to at Darren Millard. From Jonathan says, PJ might be a young Doug McLean in the making.
Oh, man. Sorry. I'm going back to school.
Walter Penfield.
That could be a huge compliment. What are you thinking it's a negative for?
I didn't say that.
Boy, I'm going back to school. So you're alluding Doug didn't go to school or something.
No. See, you guys always look for the negative in everything. I'm
a journalist.
You know what happened the other night?
Goalie made a huge save.
Healy was on.
Oh, boy.
McLean. And somebody talked about, negative. And I said, actually, Heels was positive. And they said, no, he couldn't have been positive. He might have been less negative than Doug. But he was pretty good. So you guys are on Hockey Central tonight again?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Who are you working with? It was Amber last night. Do you know who it is tonight?
Leah.
Leah Hextall tonight. I know she's all excited. She keeps texting me. I'm excited to be working with you and Gord tonight. That's what she keeps saying. And Gord, tell Gord he looks spectacular on radio.
Is that right?
No. But I did go to Wilder Penfield, and I still do love my mom.
And were you a good student?
It's a great student.
Yeah? I asked that in all honesty.
I was a good student, and I used to talk a little bit too much in class and get in trouble. Very often, my desk was outside the class.
You talk too much on radio, and you're supposed to talk on radio.
Sorry.
That's the case.
I'm learning.
Pre-game ceremony coming up on Hockey Night in Canada this weekend. There's going to be a coordinated ceremony between Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal, obviously, in retrospect to what happened this week in Montreal and Ottawa. So that's coming up on Saturday night, Hockey Night in Canada, George and the crew. A coordinated pregame ceremony, Ottawa, Montreal, and Toronto, all the early games. Darren Millard, along with Gord Stellick and PJ Stock. Your most impressive player so far this year. And I think when you look at it big picture, it might be Darcy Kemper, a guy that went from no contract to now all these shutouts. You've got about a minute and a half, but.
Well, might be Darcy Kemper. Could be Ryan Johansson. Could be John Tavares. Boy.
Anderson in Anaheim is having a great start
Wins
as well.
Wins to losses is
Brock,
crazy.
Nelson in New Brock York Nelson, with the New York Islanders, the guy nobody picked in hockey pools would be the one I didn't know. It still is kind of early. But,
it is.
Now it's early. But when you guys were all over Colorado before calling it the end of everything, and I said seven games and it's early, but now it's early. It's okay.
Certain things are early. Certain things are in sync. You got to the team thing. They got to get out of that funk.
I'm going to give you guys credit
for.
You guys have a shtick. You guys have this chemistry thing that I saw last night with Amber on Hockey Central tonight, and it's to our meeting before the show.
Yeah.
And it just carries on. It's what you see. People and hear from these two is exactly what they're like as they walk down the street as the odd couple.
That's a
odd couple. We can be like twins, but he's Danny DeVito.
You're not Schwarzenegger. Holy mackerel. I'll take Danny DeVito, but you ain't Schwarzenegger. He's like Schwarzenegger.
Hey, just be better tonight because I know my mom's watching. I got a lot of making up to do. And Wilder Penfield, is he watching?
It could be.
No.
From somewhere.
Thank you. Thanks to Adrian Dater, Gord Stellick, PJ Stock. I'm Darren Millard. Have a great weekend.
Hockey Central is brought to you by Lexus on the Park at Leslie and Eglinton.